So you sort of mentioned one of the things that we've mentioned, Peter, has been this idea of like, you having lived in the area all of your life and then going to Mayfair and not really feeling that much part of it and not recognising people. Where do you think all of these Wivenhoe locals have gone to? Have they moved out and disappeared? And if so, why is that?
They mostly have died out. Mostly. My own family, I'm one of four boys, no girls. And they are in this location. They are still around this area. One's at Brightonsea, one's at Colchester. And my elder brother, Dennis, and myself are still here in Wivenhoe. But apart from the families, which were numerous, they mainly died out. Some have moved away, immigrated. My own nephew has just moved to France, elder brother Dennis's youngest boy. And this is the pattern of events now. There's no such thing as a local community as such, because the families have dispersed or died out. And the coming of the commuter belt and the university, of course, has made it even worse. As bit by bit, it sort of disappeared Wivenhoe I knew.
And what kind of effect do you think does that have on a community? Because I sort of like walk down towards Lower Wivenhoe and I go in the pubs, and there sort of does seem some sort of sense of spirit, and there's all these new things happening, such as the cinema that's opened, the local cinema, and
there used to be a cinema in Wivenhoe, by the way, the Lido in the Avenue. Did you know that?
This is just up from the Co-op, yes.
Yes.
And you went in there yourself?
Yes. Yeah.
Can we maybe sort of mention that and perhaps describe what it was like in there and what you could see, how often you went?
It was, in our case, it was a Saturday afternoon event, and it was totally run as a cinema, and it was just the normal, nothing out toward other than just going in and coming out and blinking with the daylight, which was all darkness. That's the only thing I can remember about the Lido in the Avenue.
Which is pretty much what now Moving Images. You go into the Philip Rose Centre, splendid though it is, and you pay your £3 and you watch a film and you walk out.
Yeah, I'm afraid so, yes.
But do you think all these sort of close families that then, you know, kind of pre-wartime and then separating and moving out, yeah, what kind of overall effect does that have on an area?
Well, it destroys the sort of community which was considered the norm. You took it for granted all the families would appear at all the events. That was the done thing. Now, because each move on very short, there's no such thing as a strong base community anymore, because the movement in and out of either Wivenhoe, for whatever reason, it's rather like shifting sands. They're there for a short period, whereas our family and most of the fishing families were here for generations. That has gone completely, and the families now will only be here for a short spell of time and expect to move on to something bigger or better or worse, perhaps, who knows, but certainly there's no consistency of families remaining to any great degree of time.
But still Wivenhoe does remain very, very popular as a place for young
yes.
families to move into, and so there's got to be something here which people think, yes, I recognise this as being a decent place to live.
I walk around Wivenhoe on a regular basis and try to fill in the background to people I meet, and I enjoy my walks, and I also enjoy the talks, meeting various people, and I describe to them how things have deteriorated. But mostly the answers I get from complete strangers who are now Wivenhoe who live in Wivenhoe residence here, they like it very much. And the general consensus I can form from that we've got still something to offer for the next generation or two. And my own granddaughter, Sonia Green, she is an England player for, she plays rugby for England and Saracens. She's currently the England captain. And she appears down here on occasions here. We put her up. She came out of Loughborough University with a Bachelor of Science degree, and she teaches sport as well as perform it all over the world. And she was disappointed when she returned the summer before last here, because by that time Cook Shipyard had been thoroughly changed. And as a youngster, I used to take her to that very spot, which is Husk Shipyard as I knew it. But in her time, it was the current name of the shipyard. And crabbing was, in her youth, was a pleasure for her and for me as well, and my other grandson, James. And when she returned to see what had happened to the modern buildings in that very spot, it had changed her outlook. She preferred the old women home as opposed to the new version, which has sprung up from the both sides of Wivenhoe, with the shipyards either side.
So sadly, I think change is inevitable.
It is.
And it's just trying to manage that. And you know, I see with my kind of very relatively young and sort of fresh eyes from being in Wivenhoe, I sort of see with the shipyard, and just in the past month, some of those houses have gone up and up and up for this sort of phase three outwater sailing club. And you think, how far can this really go on? Do you think really it's at capacity down there? Can you see maybe in 20, 30 years' time, all along that front, houses stretching out, I don't know, down to the creek? Or is that it?
That could be dangerous, because the barrier in place, there is a possibility that it could, the water, if we had an excessive tide, as we had the floods in 1953, which were quite inspiring, really, for us youngsters, because water was everywhere. And the salt marshes, which were owned in those days by the Barrows family, the Roehedge marshes and the area where the Wivenhoe Sailing Club is now, they're owned by the Barrows family. Palmer Barrows owned both marshes. And the area they're now building, they're actually building, mind you, they've filled in quite a lot of what I consider the salt marshes. They are salt, well, part of the river. Used to be part of the river. And they've filled in enough, and they're actually building on part of the river I knew as a youngster.
Which is something you won't read in their marketing leaflets, I doubt it.
I couldn't believe. And the one which is currently being constructed, I have a photo of yesteryear of that very spot when it was part of the river before the wall was built. That's in the shipbuilding book they brought through. There is a photo of Anglesey Road. There's also photo in that same photo of the dinghy, an anchor and mud, and they're actually building at this very moment a house on that very spot. It's incredible, absolutely incredible.
So that really is just a huge massive change that we've sort of spoken about through your life, Peter, growing up here in Wivenhoe. You know, imagine if we had had this conversation, if we were both around, you know, say 50 or so years ago, talking about all the industry closing down and having some nice, quaint houses down there would have been unthinkable. Is there any way you can think, if you're thinking now, what do you think Wivenhoe might resemble? Will it still be around 50, 100 or so years? Now, I think it's quite interesting what you mentioned about the university did act as some kind of physical barrier to stopping Colchester swallowing up Wivenhoe. But what are your thoughts? What do you think is going to be around in 50 years' time?
Well, I personally think Wivenhoe has reached its maximum in intensity, in size-wise, that is. There's no more land which hardly can be built on in Wivenhoe. And with the shipyards being built through currently, the other shipyard, by the way, built the Mulberry Harbour, the pub. And even us kids didn't see the Mulberry Harbours being towed down the river. We didn't know what the use they were being made of. Dorman Long built the Mulberry Harbour construction in Wivenhoe. They were being built all other places as well, many places, but very ungainly to see these being to form the Mulberry Harbour at the D-Day landings. It was quite something. And father was a driver during the last war, latter part of the war, but he took part in the D-Day landings day three. And so he could have driven his lorry over the very pontoons made in Wivenhoe. It's a thought, which was quite something. And all that area was incessant noise during the war years. And when it stopped, we noticed the quietness. It seems incredible because we had got used to the noise on a 24-hour basis. It didn't cease. The caulking of the minesweepers, which they had to be wooden vessels, and the caulking of it was incessant. So consequently, when it ceased after the war, it was noticeable the silence.
So that is trying to have some sort of link with the past, but for the future, yes, I think, as you said, Wivenhoe really is at capacity. My thoughts are maybe, I guess the railway was quite a big changing point because that enabled people to work outside of Wivenhoe. But I think now it's almost the reverse is happening. I'm quite fortunate in that my work is working from home, working online, using the internet, so I needn't be in London. I can be here in Wivenhoe. And I guess that's going to be the future. So lots of more people working at home independently, perhaps in isolation. But Wivenhoe really can't grow any further.
Indeed so. That's my belief.
There'll be like no kind of dominant industry, so fishing, shipbuilding, all those kind of old manufacturing industries have gone.
Finished.
I can't see there being any sort of service industry, and so people don't really want supermarkets around here, but it will be people, probably a few smaller independent shops, but people probably working from home independently.
Mostly that will be the case.
Yeah.
Just off Park Road, which is your area, Park Road, many years ago, after the war, was still unmetalled, and it was a very rough area. But the Victorian mansion, where the nook is, or was, I should say, was a glorious building, looking over the valley. And there's an area which you know as the nook. I knew it as Victorian Nook, and Colonel Bowles was the last occupant. And I had the privilege, and it was a privilege, seemed an incredible comment. As a schoolboy, I used to cut the lawns, huge lawns, with a motor mower. There was no other motor mower during the war years at all. This Colonel Bowles managed to get hold of petrol from somewhere, and it's petrol driven with a clutch. And I was privileged to cut the lawns as a youngster. No age, couldn't have been more than 10 or 11 years old. And it went down to the boundary, the nook, when the boundary of Wivenhoe and Tendring started, Hampstead really, was at the bottom of Valley Road. There is a stream going underneath. It's been channeled through, but at the bottom was nothing but extensive lawns, a wonderful sight with no houses at all.
There's very, very few pictures, or I've not seen any old historical picture.
I haven't. No one knows. You'd have thought there would have been one in existence.
Because you sort of see there's various publications. You can go into Wivenhoe Bookshop, and they've got a great local history section in there.
Yes.
and you see photos of the Greyhound from 100 or so years ago,
yes,
the quayside still. And you know, for me personally, living so close to where this old house was, or this big old estate, I often like look out and think, well, I can sort of see now all this modern development. I wonder what it looked like. But there's nothing around.
No, and I've no idea why. You'd have thought at some stage some photo would have been taken of the knock, because it was a wonderful Victorian mansion overlooking sweeping lawns and down to the stream. There was a stream at the bottom, open stream then. Right. And that was the dividing line between Wivenhoe and Elmstead. Elmstead went right down to the river.
So maybe there's that's something which that could be our kind of quest. If anyone has got any photos, you would have thought by now they would have surfaced.
Yes.
But how strange which they haven't appeared. Well, Peter, we've been speaking for some time.
Yes.
I get the feeling we could perhaps speak again for considerable time, and I'm kind of quite conscious that I don't want to really tire you out.
If you'll delete some parts which are, if you can delete...
I think it's all been fascinating. We certainly can if need be, but I think everything we've been talking about has been really useful. But you know, maybe there's some kind of scope for a later time coming back to record more.
There is, yes, there's always things which you've forgotten to mention.
Yeah,
I've forgotten to mention, and I think I wish I had it. Anyway.
So if I'll end this recording here, and so this has been our first recording here on Radio Wivenhoe with the WivChat programme. And like I mentioned, if you want to contact us, we have an email address. It's as simple as jason@radiowivenhoe.co.uk. So really what I'm looking for is anybody who would like to meet up. It can be somewhere quite neutral. It could be at my house, maybe at your house, and just have a chat about any memories which you might have. Be there sort of detailed historic memories such as Peter's that we've just shared, or perhaps something a bit more modern or contemporary, or perhaps you've got a point of view to put forward. But we're really interested in just anybody in Wivenhoe who wants to have a chat and put across their stories. But Peter Green, that has been really, really enjoyable and very fascinating, and it's given me personally a lot of things to go away and to think about. So it's been very, very kind of your time, so I thank you so much. Thank you.